The Alpha Sessions. Hello everyone and welcome back to The Alpha Sessions. I'm Lucy Rowe. Today I'm very excited because Poppy Prescott is finally in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome to be here. We're very excited. And you played us three really nice songs, one of which is my fave. We'll get around to that. But to start us off, tell our listeners where you're from.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's lovely to be here. I am from Hastings, so southeast coast near Brighton. But family are from London and Kent, and I've lived in London for the last 9 years. So kind of got a lot of southeast England in me.
Mm-hmm. Which is a great place to be. I mean, I'm biased, but actually I'm southwest. How musically your beginnings, I suppose, were in Hastings, and then being in London for that length of time and moving back between the two, your musical roots must be quite rich. And how was it growing up in Hastings for music?
Yeah, Hastings was... I don't know if I'd be a musician if I wasn't born there. It's very much a creative... I think where it's a working class sort of seaside town, it does breed a lot of creatives. I know it's a stereotype, but it is sort of true in terms of Hastings. Everyone's a little bit rebellious. I don't know if we've got like a chip on our shoulder about being like the rough cousin of Brighton or something like that, but it's quite anarchic, and I do think that breeds a lot of creativity. Mm. So growing up, and it was also affordable to see live music. We were going to different pubs and venues every weekend, like with my family, and then as teenagers, and going to see amazing live music. Hastings people know how to party, like everyone's on the tables for any sort of gig, and that, yeah, it was a playground. It made music really fun, and I don't think there are many places where you could where it would like foster such a sense of musicianship so early on. I was gigging two nights a week at 14, doing like 2 45-minute sets, sort of changing out of my school uniform sometimes in the toilets, and nobody at any point said I shouldn't be doing that. They treated me like a, if not an adult, like a musician, and it made me take myself seriously because other people did. And then moving to London, I went down a different path, went to uni, studied journalism, thought that music was like a hobby, but ended up just falling in love with music in London as well. I mean, everyone I met there is a record collector or a live music gigger. Yeah, and then I just ended up sort of meeting someone and ended up falling right back in the scene. And Hastings isn't a very diverse place in lots of ways, so what I got from London was I got introduced to much more, like right in front of me, like black music, soul, jazz, stuff. Hastings is much more folky, so I feel like the two together have been amazing for me.
What was it that made music feel like a hobby? If it was something you were doing from an early age and it was like you changing out of school uniform and jumping right into it, why did it then become journalism instead? Is that more of a like a cultural impression?
Yeah, I think being a teenage girl, you know, I think just shyness, didn't feel like there was a straightforward career path to, because I guess lack of role models, you know, it's not, although everyone is a musician in Hastings, it doesn't mean that everyone's making money from it. They're almost certainly not. So I kind of had that sort of working class mentality of like, you know, get a real job that's going to pay the bills and like, you know, support my mum and myself. So, but it's quite funny to me now that journalism was my backup, because actually that as an industry, especially in 2016, was not the most secure. And music was all, it was always going to be music. I had so many people telling me that and I completely ignored it. And who knows why, it's just my journey. And I bet I'm not the only one. I think it's quite common.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that is so common and quite sad in a way that it's
not
really...
Did you ever feel like that?
Yeah, I still a little bit feel like there's always an imposter feeling where it's not kind of validated as a career in the same way as other careers. So then you hold back from it, taking it seriously, even though it's just like an intrinsic part of you, you know?
Yeah,
it's
not you have to do it.
Bat away. So on that, your first release which will about 2022,
probably. Yeah, around then. You'll know better
years
than
ago
me.
Now. how was that for you? Was that like a move into, yeah, this is a career, this is something, like, I've got all these songs that I imagine you've been writing for a long time by that point, and you thought, finally, I think I need to get it out there.
Yeah, it was such a wonderful experience releasing music, the best. I was in Wales with my boyfriend at the time and, like, long-term collaborator, Dan McConkey, and I was just mucking about playing him songs, and he was like, why haven't you released them? You know, think of all the crap that gets released. Like, just put it out there. And it really hadn't occurred to me. I think I do need to be given permission sometimes because I've got that shyness. And I thought, yeah, why haven't I? You know, I don't really mind what people think. So that process of, like, recording, we did it all in lockdown in different, like, front rooms wherever we were having to isolate at the time, and it was a beautiful experience. It was seeing, it was my proudest moment, seeing my name in song on Spotify, and I really didn't worry about numbers or tracking metrics. I was just so happy, and that's the feeling I chase still, like, just so happy to see it existing and not in my mind in chaotic form. And then obviously that materializes even more when you're in a live setting and you're seeing people hear it. But yeah, it releasing music is the most amazing thing for me. And that first release was just, I mean, COVID, it was just such a good thing for music, not literally, not anything else. But being able to actually take a few hours every day and dedicate that to music is something I'll never forget.
It's quite, I think that comes across as well in the music, because I write down authenticity and depth, because that's how I always feel, like there's a lot of depth to it. And I think that comes in many ways, but directly from that feeling that it is still yours. Like, you put it out there and you're proud of it, and you're not thinking about the metrics and the analytics. It's just so easy to get wrapped up in that as well. But I think that comes across for you, because it just feels like actual, you know, I don't want to say actual music in a demeaning way to anyone else, but it feels like such music, you know.
Lucy Mokuna music.
And also shout out to Dan McConkey, because I have met him actually when I first met you. And we met at a gig in Shoreditch. Played together.
You sang Lavender Water and just stole my heart.
And also on that, shout out to Tom Berry, who is also a fan. And I feel like a collaboration is probably in the works somewhere.
Yeah, we have to.
But I want to talk more about your writing styles, and with people let down in mind, like producing and working in groups and stuff. So the first song you played for us is especially unreleased, sort of still in the works, right?
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
So how is that one working? Is that, are you writing on your own? Are you writing with collaborators?
It's really different every time. I have no consistency in my writing whatsoever. So there's a refrain at the very end, and I wrote that the day after I met my current boyfriend. Like, we had a first date, and I just immediately was sort of inspired, I guess. I was hungover, already a bit in love. And then it took, it honestly took, I think, a year and a half to find out what goes before that, because that feels like the end of the story to me, is that I'm falling in love. And I just, with him, I just knew it was going to come, but I kind of had to wait for our relationship to play out to come, for the material to come. So I ended up taking him, I know there's so many different verses in that song. There's at least, I'd say, 12 to 15 of just different descriptions. And then, yeah, I took him to meet my family. And then that just, I just wrote all of what the song is now about that day.
Took the train to St. Leonard's, sweating off your brow, your cheek pressed against my dress. I said, no turning back now. We're outside my sister's house. I left years ago. cherry blossom falls confetti. Congratulators, oh, we're changing fortunes, smoother lanes. Everyone's been waiting for the day. A ring them saying I'd pick you a million times over, and it's true. We'll head to the channel right to the bridge. I'm sure I could swim it if you'd only push me in. We spent years getting to know ourselves, yet I feel I've known you for them all. Blushing, laughing, living you forever. Falling for you, sight and sound. Nothing now could ever hold me down. All our turns, stumbles, burns. Before we know it, our bags are by the door. My girls whispered something they have never said to me.
Alpha Sessions.
For me, there's no like winning formula, mm-hmm. other than to just stay really open. I have massively changed my process though with writing with other people. Mm-hmm. I was extremely private about it until about 6 months ago.
Yeah, because you went on a retreat. Is that
yeah? So that was just last month. Yeah, oh, wow. So I've been writing with Dan and the guitarist in my band here, Kit Tyson, and they're my safe place, you know. I'm sure you have that too. It's mm-hmm. sort of like, and they're people in your band, right? It's like it's as naked as you'll ever get with clothes on, writing with your band members. But when I went on this retreat, it was Chris Difford's retreat, and Help Musicians pay for your place, which was amazing. And it really opened me up to writing with other people. again, I'm still that shy little girl in lots of ways and fine to do things as long as it's within my comfort zone, which has obviously grown bigger as I've grown older. However, writing with other people was just the most terrifying thing, and that's why I applied for it. I'm sort of in a growth period. That sounds cliche, but I knew I had to go. I've got to go for things right now that make me feel terrible. So I applied for this retreat, and yeah, what a huge life experience for me. Like, you get put with two different people every day, and you have to write and you have to perform it that evening to Chris Difford, one of my heroes. Like, it forces you to just open yourself up and be creative. So
yeah,
I've written more songs in the last month from that retreat than I have in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
They've just been pouring out. And I think it's just because it was a bit like unlocking a door.
That's exactly the phrase I was about to use. Yeah. Is that just when you do unlock the door, sometimes it's not the right time to do it, but if you do it and everything sort of aligns and it pushes you through, and then yeah, everything just sort of pours out. But I suppose with your lyrics, like, that you're talking about shyness, but I think it's just a sort of, it's a lot of personal stuff, or it sounds very personal. And writing 12 to 15 verses just for one song, and all of them being like probably so clear to you, and the imagery is really strong, and I suppose it is very personal. And then when you want to open that up, it doesn't always come out, because it's not meant to. It's all of your like deepest thoughts. So like,
it is journaling, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I journal religiously.
Yeah.
And that really helps me put thoughts to pen to paper and sort of let go of that feeling of being inhibited. But yeah, I mean, it's why we do it. It's why I love music more than anything else, is because hearing what somebody's really not wanting to say and yet they're brave enough to sing is so, it's a feeling of high. And to be able to then do that in return is the best thing.
Yeah. Do you think it's partly like a sort of facade, like a barrier? If you're performing a song on stage, right, if you want to admit something or divulge something that you wouldn't just say in words, it's like you're not really doing it.
Yeah,
it's not
absolutely.
Real.
Absolutely. I mean, when I wrote Jacket, I'm so in love with you, but I'm running out of reasons why. My boyfriend at the time was like, is that about me? And I sort of said, of course it's not about you. What do you mean? Like, that's preposterous. I'm not that person. I would never write that and sing it in front of people while you're there. And yet, in hindsight, of course it was. Like, but I just really wasn't in touch with what my heart was saying.
Yeah.
So I feel, I think the songwriter in us is probably closer to what we're feeling than what we want to say. And it's so much easier to confront it in a song behind the facade of it being fictional. And don't get me wrong, I write fictional stuff all the time, especially now. I'm in a place where I'm quite settled in my life, settled for me. And so I am having to not really fictionalise, but dig into previous experiences and think, okay, well, I'm going to pull that feeling from that, or that how that person spoke to me and this and that. But really, it all comes from a true place. It really does.
Exactly.
I don't think I could write, I can never write a novel.
I haven't
got the imagination. Like, it's all come from real feelings, real people.
But that kind of supplies the imagination, you know? Like, even if it's fictional, it's not actually entirely fictional. It's just another way of communicating all your feelings and stuff. Let's talk more about Jacket. You brought Jacket up just a minute ago. And that's the first one off Reasons Why.
Yeah.
Is that why it's called Reasons Why? By the way, there's a lyric in there.
I mean, they were all... Try not to overthink titles. I love it when titles are almost sentences that have nothing to do with the lyrics.
Yeah,
I would love to do that more. But at that point, we experimented with just taking a week to record the EP. And so everything was just made with quick decisions. So Jacket was called Jacket. And every song was an explanation of how I was feeling about something, and I couldn't really say it. So Jacket, I knew I wasn't going to last with my boyfriend. Afternoons, that's sort of my way of saying I don't think I'll ever love anyone more than I love my sister. Always Will was about a breakup, and Watching the Road was about a childhood friend. So it was all these kinds of declarations of love, and they're reasons why I am the way I am and why I love them, but it's hard to say.
That's really sweet. It's a really nice EP, actually. How do you, when you're writing songs, how do you feel things come together? Like, when you put together an EP, do you just know immediately, like, make these quick decisions, think, these are the songs, this makes one big project, they all feel right together?
I'm into this. So I started off too chaotically. When I was recording stuff in COVID, it was a case of making it a puzzle. How can we make one thing flow into another? Now I approach it really differently. I have the project in mind when I'm writing. We're writing an EP right now, and every time we finish the demo of a song, it gets put with the other songs, mm-hmm. and they become one long song file. Mm-hmm. So I sent it to someone last night, and he was like, I don't think these should be one song. And I was like, no, of course they're not. They're two songs, but I've put them together so mm-hmm. you can listen in one go, because it's mm-hmm. it's a project. So, yeah, as me and Keir right now in Hastings, we are constantly thinking about the order. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I got into Pink Floyd way too late. It was 2020, mm-hmm. but that album where everything flows into everything mm-hmm. else, I just thought, that's what I want to do. I never want to stray from that. That's the best thing ever. That kind of coherence.
Continuous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like something that's a little bit lost now because of the new...
Playlisting.
Yeah, playlisting. Okay, right. Strap in, let's get into this. So the way singles are such a thing now because of playlisting and instant gratification, I like to talk about this on the After Sessions, so I'd like to get your take on it. Mm. And it feels like I can see where it's going anyway, because you like that continuous thing. Everything is coherent and it feels like a project rather than something you're just sort of spurting out every month to keep the ball rolling all the time, because that's the ball does not only roll when it's consistent singles every month. If you release a whole coherent project, that is so much, there's so much worth in that. There's so much music in that that can make the ball roll probably even further. And I mean, is that your kind of the world that you're
absolutely.
In?
Absolutely. Of course, I totally agree. I really think there's a place for singles. I love listening mm-hmm. to songs on their own. I think when you released Heartbeat Wipers, That's a single. If it eventually goes on an album, fair play, it should. But you got me in with one song, right? So it definitely has value in this market. And there are songs I make that don't belong on projects, mm-hmm. probably. But the idea that that is how art should be made, and that we should now be making background music because mm-hmm. it will fit on a playlist better, mm-hmm. because a DSP prefers background music, is soul destroying, and I will fight it mm-hmm. by making really good projects, according to my own opinion. I grew up listening to albums, and I love album songs that would never make it as singles, and I know everybody does, so mm-hmm. don't know why it's becoming so assumed that this is the way we should go and that we shouldn't fight it. I mean, mm-hmm. Adele did a great thing. I think she made it so that her album couldn't be mixed on Spotify.
Shuffle.
Shuffle. I don't even know the words because I reject it all. stuff like that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Good for you. Well done for setting the way.
Yeah.
But I just love putting a vinyl on. When I was young, a CD.
Have you ever made one of your own? Printed any?
I haven't, but I will as soon as the music's sort of right. I will, and I just get so much pleasure out of listening to a whole body of work. And hey, you can skip songs. I love it when you're in a car and someone's like, "Oh, I hate this song. I want to skip it." And someone else is like, "I love this one." You know, that's why albums are albums.
Yeah, there's diversity in there, and it sort of allows more of a creative input from the listener as well, because like you say, people can find their own parts of it they love and the other person will have absolutely the opposite opinion, whereas if you present the world with one thing, it's like, that's the thing, you gotta like it.
Yeah, and there's more pressure on it to define you as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I love making EPs. Mm-hmm. I just think 4 or 5 tunes, mm-hmm. You can tell a little story, but it's mm-hmm. not, you know, the heavy lifting that an album is.
Yeah.
But I really look forward to just making album after album.
Yeah.
You said the best part of your night was when I took my jacket off. I go from feeling kind of stupid said you're just doing your best. You sealed it with a kiss. The ink spills thickest before it runs dry. I am so in love with you, but I'm running out reasons why. Now we're skipping leaves of a tree. Your birthday gift. Your friend back home's having a party. I'm not invited. But you've not a bad bone. That much seems true. I don't know what you're capable of until you show. The ink spills thickest before it runs dry. I am so in love with you, but I'm running out reasons why. Oh, oh. The ink spills thickest before it runs dry. I'm so in love with you. Yeah, I'm so in love with you. What you waiting for? I'm still waiting for.
The Alpha Sessions.
How do you feel about the release process for a longer project? Being in this climate that we are.
Well, I'm not very good at it.
Well, you say that, but I feel like it's just sort of, again, a thing that people have spoken into existence that is assumed that the other way to do it is the singles and it's easier to promote. Mm. But maybe it's just as easy to do it the way you're, you know, maybe it's actually better to do a longer form thing, but people are sort of afraid because everyone's doing singles. They're sort of afraid to try and promote something that is longer form.
Yeah, and I get why, because I'm sure it's a lot harder. I haven't done it really successfully, but it's so much easier to tell a story with an album. The work in my head, it seems like the work should be done for you with the music. You know, with singles, you're kind of having to constantly produce so much content and marketing because every release is sort of like a new thing, whereas an album, you know, that's a chance to just sort of talk about one story. I mean, logistically it's easier to market, but yeah, who knows the way it's going to go. I make music to be heard in a project for sure. But it's fine if people want to consume it one by one, just buy the whole thing. Yeah. And then just listen to that one song.
Buy it now. I was going to cite your website, but I don't want to get the website wrong.
So I don't know.
Poppypresscott.com.
.co.uk.
And actually, for Afternoons, which is the third song, is my favourite. And it's just one of the most beautiful songs of all time. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to say it. But I just love it every time.
So kind of.
But it sort of comes, it's later. Is it the last one on Reasons Why? Or is it the second?
No, it's not. It's not. Where actually. I think it's second or third.
Second. I always find that, because I like to listen to things through when they're longer projects. And I look forward when that one isn't, when it's not the first one on there, it's like I can see where it is on the list. And I think, okay, if I start at the top, then when I get there, it's just going to hit me even better. So not selecting a song specifically the way you can now, just clicking on whenever, it's better. It's just a bigger experience, you know?
It makes you look forward.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. It makes me happy too.
And I know what you're saying has just reminded me of why I do sort of, I do like making my own playlist, don't get me wrong. Mm. It can be great to curate different music that is... when I worked in a bar, I loved making playlists to be heard in that bar. Like that felt more like a DJ role, though. I know it's obviously DJs would laugh at me for saying that, but like bringing different music from different corners of the world or time signatures, rhythms, things like that. That's great. Just like buy the music too, or go to the shows as well. Mm. So yeah, that's my soapbox.
Mm-hmm. With Afternoons, how you were saying earlier that you wrote that one. Because it was really late at night and you wanted it to be like really quiet, as it is. Yeah. It's very, really intimate. It's dynamic. That's the word I'm looking for. But lyrically, that one is about your sister.
Yeah, so when I was at school, we studied Philip Larkin. Mm-hmm. And my teacher showed me this poem of his Afternoons, and it's about some parents in a playground watching their children play. And it really stuck with me, like it reminded me of home. Mm. And it was my sister's birthday. I just split up with someone, the guy from Jacket. I think that's why that sort of chronologically went like that. And I sometimes just go home and I feel like such a black sheep, because they're really getting on with their lives and like working and raising kids and all of that. And I look up to my older sister so much because she is so fun and resilient, and she brings up these kids alone, and it really made me think of the poem Afternoons. And I think it would be quite easy to read Afternoons and think he's looking down on these people. He's he's painting the ordinary nature of their day in a way that's like it's just mundane, whereas when I read it I thought it was quite profound. Like the simplicity of just pushing your kids on a swing in a playground, and the idea that the leaves are turning brown and stuff. So I look at my sister's life and I think, you've got it made. Like, this is what you've worked hard for, is amazing. And I thought I'd never be able to write something so simple and such a nod to someone's way of living. So I wrote that in my notebook. I could never write Afternoons. And then in my head, you know, that's because something's always getting me down. I'm cynical or something. And then so I thought, actually, that there is room in this for something with my voice. I feel like it was my first love song. And it's so classic that it was about my sister, because that is a really pure relationship of mine. And, you know, growing up, she did... used to like get in so much trouble, and she'd literally be putting her head through the letterbox saying, "Poppy, let me in, mum's locked me out again." And I'd be on the stairs like 4 or 5 years old thinking, "Oh, I know I'm gonna let you in, but I'm just gonna wait 30 more seconds till mum's gone." And yeah, that was our fun little trio life, and she taught me so much, how to smoke, how to lie to mum. But also how to be brilliant. Yeah, like the song One in a Million, like she showed me R&B. That's a song by Aaliyah. And I owe her a lot for that. Mm. So yeah, it's just a big love song. For Tiffany, she looks like Tiffany from EastEnders.
I wonder who that is.
Martine McCutcheon,
was.
Yeah. Right. It's all true.
It's beautiful. It's a proper ode. And I think those pure relationships are the ones that sort of support your artistry most. And just your life as well, in life. And that's important for supporting your music making. And also supporting your music making. You mentioned them briefly, but I want to come back to Help Musicians. Because you've done quite a few really cool things that we haven't even mentioned yet. We got all the way through this. But like going to the Light Ship, is it called that? Nut Ship 95 Studio? I wouldn't know about that unless I'd seen you post that.
Such a good place. That was, I got a grand in funding from Creative Access and McLaren Racing, Career Development Bursary. So if you're from like an underrepresented background, you can access up to £1,000. And I was talking about the importance of live video, and God, it was so fun going on that ship and recording. It was my first experience like that. And then Help Musicians, they got me a mentor. So I'm being mentored by Simon from the Kaiser Chiefs. He's the bassist. Yeah, great guy. Leeds fan, so my boyfriend's not happy. But I really like him. He's helped me out a lot. And then also the place on Christopher's writing retreat, mm-hmm. which was life-changing.
Mm.
That's the thing that's really unlocked. I feel like I'll look back when I'm 90 years old and still remember that retreat.
Yeah, yeah. These are they're the sort of like core memory.
Yeah, it's music. A core memory.
And
yeah.
I suppose that it will influence how you write going forward and also your connections going forward because you meet so many great people, I imagine,
yeah.
out there in these
communities. I mean, that's the thing. For me, songwriting has always been such a solitary experience and actually because of that, a little bit sad because yeah. it's a form of expression when things go wrong or when I need to air something out myself. Whereas being in a mansion, being cooked for by a beautiful woman called Vicky every three times a day, and yeah, and being with 15 people, that is fun. There's nothing to be sad about when you're in that house making music and you're performing it every night. Yeah. Even though we did go to some sad places musically, you'd have to be, you know. It would have been unreal for me to have been sad. So I suddenly realised, oh, okay, songwriting can be social. Mm. It can be stimulating in a positive way and creative because you go to places that you never would on your own. Mm. So I recommend, even if nobody could get, if they say they never ran that camp again or something, like just reaching out to, I think there's something magic about number three. It's like reach out to two other people and say, would you just sort of take 6 hours, meet me? It doesn't matter if we don't make anything, but we'll pick a theme and we'll see what we can make in 6 hours with the intention of being able to perform it tonight if we had to.
Mm-hmm.
That is really fun. Doesn't sound it, but it is.
Oh, it does. I mean, to me, it does. I don't know.
Well, we can do it. You know, but it's yeah, like, because you just don't know what you'll make.
Yeah.
How much fun.
Exactly. And I suppose this is something that will be playing into your next project, all of this experience. And is there anything you can tell us about all these, the upcoming projects?
So, we've got lots of songs. They're
good.
About
that's good.
They're
news.
About friends. they're about saying yes to things. They are about falling in love. About stalking an ex on his birthday.
Nice.
and definitely my best work, written in a really collaborative, exciting way, and I'm touring it. Doing 5 dates, Hastings, Brighton, Margate, Folkestone, and then London.
Mm.
None of that's been announced yet, but I'm co-headlining with a really lovely jazz singer called Meg Bird, and we're going to tour it together. And
amazing.
She'll tour her stuff. And I'm starting a Substack next month that will go nice. Into songwriting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think the summer's going to be pretty busy for me. It'll be nice.
Yay! And that means it's going to be busy for us because we're going to be at everything. Or at least I am. I'm just going to follow you around.
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you're able to come in. And before you go, tell everyone listening how to find you and all of your lovely music.
So Instagram would be Poppy P Prescott. Despicable Me 4 really messed Poppy Prescott up for me.
Yeah,
SEO is.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I've got a website, poppyprescott.com. I'm probably going to start TikTok as soon as I discover my sense of self and ego upcoming soon. And, yeah, just like I would love to just meet more people, music lovers or music makers. Anyone can message me, go to gigs, to open mics, things like that.
I just done like an open call to hang out. If anyone out there that wants to hang out?
But I mean it. And I would never have said that 6 months ago. It's funny. It's like, well, you know, London in summer is the best thing in the world and love music. So
that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Bring us all together. All right. Well, Poppy, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to me and playing your lovely songs. And hopefully you can come back in soon after this year is up and we'll have even more to talk about, I imagine, by the sounds of it. So thank you.
I would love to interview you, I think.
Hey, maybe we'll swap seats.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
could never write afternoons for the bleak evening wind. It pushed the rain aside and love. I could never love long enough. I will run before I know. You're the best.